pressure sometimes. It's hard to listen and obey sometimes, isn't it? It's hard for us to obey. You know, it really is. And what is about us that makes us so stubborn? What is it about us that makes us so stubborn? Determined to do what we want to do. Things to go our way. Because sometimes I just want to do my thing. I just want things to go my way. And it has to be God's way. Amen? It has to be His way. It's His truth, right? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's the way we should go, and not our way. Whatever it is, sometimes it's selfish pride or something else. It needs to die off. We have to die out to those things, as Paul even talks about in another letter. We have to die to self. We have to let the old man die so that the new work can take place and allow that to happen. We have to let those old things die so we can fully embrace a life of righteous living as we follow Christ. Because Paul said, I die daily. I have to. Why did he say that? He didn't say, I just died once and that was it. Paul said, I die every day. Every day. Proverbs 19:20 says this: Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Whose advice and instruction are you listening to? Is it the world's advice, or is it a trustworthy advice that comes from Jesus, or a mentor, or an advisor, or someone else? Maybe sometimes we listen to. As many of us, know that I think we've said it all, that bad company corrupts good character. You ever heard that before? And in the same way, if you constantly listen to bad advice about ungodly living from folks who don't have a relationship with Christ, then where do you think you'll end up at? This is one thing I have to remind people of what they listen to and what they watch. Because it becomes that. What you watch and what you listen to can create what you act like. It can influence that, what I'm trying to say. And it's still, you have, this icon of a superstar, Taylor Swift. Has anybody ever heard of her? Right. We've all heard of her, I know, because she's all over everything. And although she's got a beautiful voice, but the thing is when you really look at the content of her music and what she really writes about, you start to realize that's not good. It's not good. It's not good advice. It's not great. It's not good teaching. It's not something that we should take in. And I know that I could go through a list longer than we have time for, of music that I've listened to. It's really not that good advice. It's not really good counsel, is it? The old Tom T. Hall song comes to my mind. Huh? Me and Jesus, he sang that song. Well, that was not too bad. But then he also sang a song about the old-time cowboy that had the best advice in the world, which was this: faster horses, younger women, older whiskey, and more money. Probably not the best advice in the world, is it? Double life, I guess. Many of those. But, it's the content of the song, and it's a fun song. But just not great advice. It reminds me of a story in the Old Testament about Solomon's son. And in 1 Kings 12:6 and 14, it says, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. And How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. They replied, if today you will be a servant of these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servant. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people? You say to me, lighten the yokes of your father put on us. The young men who had grown up with him replied, these people have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Now tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid you a heavy yoke, and I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, and I will scourge you with scorpions. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam as the king he had said, come back to me in 3 days. The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, and I will scourge you with scorpions. But, you know, Rehoboam, he refused to take the advice, listen to the wisdom of the elders, and he opted to this horrible advice of his buddies. And it's a harsh story. And when you read that, you understand what the results of that was. The story doesn't end well. And it's a bad instruction. So the moral is to receive your instruction from good and godly source. From a good and godly source, and act accordingly to that. And I think that's why the next passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is so incredibly important. It's a call to righteousness. And the Roman culture in the time of Christ was highly sexualized, and one of very similar to what we experience here in America today. And the church was not immune to that. And when you read about the church, there was temptations, and as evidenced by the amount of times Paul, he has to address that topic in the scripture when writing letters to his churches. But the overwhelming encouragement of Paul in all his letters is to lay aside the temptations of the world. Lay all that aside and to live a holy life devoted for Christ. Not to get, you know, drug into that this world that we live in. Not to be drawn away from the life of Christ or devoted to Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 8, it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that is, that in this manner, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, and as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects the instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Wow, what a time. There aren't many places in the Bible where you can read so clearly about the will of God, is there? I mean, that's about as clear as it gets. And yet, here smack dab in the middle of Paul's letter, we learn that it's God's will that we would be sanctified, amen, and set apart. That's what that means, that we live a life different than the world. Paul, he says this, he echoes this statement, this sentiment in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. When he says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, that's important. Our bodies were meant to be more than to be used for immorality. And we are called not to impure living. That's more than just sexual immorality. There's a whole lot more. But to live a holy life that honors God and glorifies his great name. Amen? So I would say this, in the midst of this overly sexualized culture that we live in, we need to remain steadfast in our convictions and to live a life pleasing to God. And if you get off track, though, I'm telling you, if you get off track, the wonderful thing about it is God is gracious and forgiving, and his mercy is steadfast, and his love, he renews us every morning. That's what it says in Lamentations chapter 3. You know, he has a wonderful grace and love and mercy and forgiving. I mean, that's the God that he is. He also says to love one another. I love that story of the one another's, the study in the Bible. Speaking of love, it'd be impossible to talk about righteous living without also talking about love, though. That's why I've got that here. God is love, and as we follow God, we learn all the more about his incredible love for all creation. He loves all of us. Love is what sets us apart from others, and how we love each other reflects back onto God. And this is what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 9 and 10. Now about your love for one another. I love that. We do not need to write to you. Man, I like this church already. About your love you have for one another, I don't need to write you a letter about that. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. I love that. Twice he says that. Do this more and more. Love each other more and more. The Thessalonian church was known throughout all of Macedonia for the way they loved others. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't you like to hear other people say that's what they learn about the Nazarene church? When you're in the community, is that church, you're from the Nazarene church, man, that church loves one another. That church loves people and loves God. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the two most important things are, right? Love God with all your heart and love one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing, the two most important commands. I can imagine that their love was a powerful testimony. Even outside, there's writings outside of the church where pagan kings would write and say, boy, those Christians love one another. They really love each other, even unto death. That's a powerful testimony in the midst of a harsh culture like the Roman culture. What did people say about it? I don't know. They said that they saw how they loved one another. You know, it's obvious that it takes a lot of selling out to love some people, right? I mean, there's just some people, it's hard to love them. I mean, sometimes they've wronged you. Sometimes they've done things. Or you know, it makes it hard to love them. But you know what? Christ loves them. And he says you ought to love them too. And sometimes we got to sell out to ourselves and let things go ourselves in order to love somebody. And we love one another. Unity in the church is number one. The Holy Spirit would have never came on the day of Pentecost if they hadn't been united together in one accord. That had to be number one before. And I believe if we're ever going to see a revival in our country, we have to love one another. We have to come together and want revival. First John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And it's a good reminder that we extend our love to others because God first extended his love to us. He sent his one and only son to trade his life for ours. That's what First John 4:19 says. The righteous path is filled with the love of God, and the love of God informs the righteous path. We have to respect the hard work. Paul's final words to the Thessalonians in this section of chapter 4 was, I think it was a practical one, but it was important there in 4, in 11 and 12. It says, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? Let your daily life, your hard and honest work, win the respect of others. And Paul adds, so that you won't be dependent upon anyone else. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't depend on each other, okay? Because we need each other. There's times where we need each other. But he says we shouldn't be lazy. We shouldn't be lazy Christians. We shouldn't be unmotivated. We shouldn't get into a place of complacency. John and I, and I'm glad John's here today. It's good to have you here, John. And Mackenzie. Good to have Mackenzie here with us. But you know, the scripture teaches us not to be complacent, not to be unmotivated Christians. He tells us that we should work hard. We should give our lives for our families, and we should give our lives for our church and the church that Christ loved. And if, you know, I've talked about this many times. Christ wants us to love what he loved. And what did he love the most? He loved his church, didn't he? If we're going to love people and we're going to love what Jesus loved, and we're going to love the church, and that's what Paul is telling the church there in Thessalonica, don't be lazy Christians. Do the work that I put in front of you, no matter what it is with your hands, no matter what it is, no matter where you're at. So if you remember, the historical occasion for the writing was that some in the church misunderstood Paul's preaching on the second coming and had quit working in the church. They'd forgotten about spreading the news about Jesus is coming back. And let me tell you, he's coming back. You hear me today? Jesus is coming back, and there's people that don't know Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going. Remember, you know, he said, hey, I'm going, and where I'm going, you can't go right now, but listen, as I go, I'll come again. As I go, I'm coming back. But while I'm gone, you go preach the good news, and you go share the gospel, and you go be the church in front of everybody. You get as many people to believe in me as you can. And then Paul's reminding the church, guess what? You guys have gotten off track here a little bit. You've gotten complacent. You quit doing what I asked you to do. Now it's time to get back on track. I know you guys love each other. I know these things, but let's do it more and more as we see the days approaching. Let me tell you, those days are approaching. Watch what's going on in Israel. These are things that are, and I'm not a prophetic guy. I don't know the mysteries of God because God reveals those when it's right. Right? We can try to understand what Revelation says, and we can go through and say, but God will reveal those things when the time is right. You hear me? And there's things that we're starting to see that we're like, oh, wow. You can flip through the scripture and go, ooh, man, that looks an awful lot like Ezekiel chapter 38 or 39. We can start to see these things coming together, and we're like, oh, well, there's people out here that are lost. Jesus said, I didn't come to this earth to be served. I came here to save those that were lost. He said, now you, my church, Peter, if you love me, you love my church, right? Do you love me, Peter? You remember that story where he's asking Peter, do you love me? And he keeps having to repeat himself. No, do you get what I'm trying to tell you? Peter, then feed my sheep, build my church, love my people. I'm off track. Let your hard work be a testimony. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for man. Paul gives us some extremely practical examples here in this scripture of how to live righteous lives set apart for the glory of God. And in order to stand firm and continue on our path of righteousness, we got to learn to listen and accept the instruction from good and godly people too. But we have to see, James, what did James said? What did he say? James said it so clear. Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. Paul said, faith without works is dead. It goes together. Many of us, we've heard the word. We know. I've heard it. I remember when mom and dad used to tell me, I know. You ever had your kids do that to you? My kids would do the same thing. I know, mom. I know, dad. You don't have to tell me. I know. Because it was something that you told them over and over and over and over and over. I wonder if Jesus is not like that. We pray, oh, God, I'm sorry for what I did. Well, I told you, didn't I? I told you, I think we got to recognize that God has called us to live lives of to live this life of holiness and purity before Him, first of all. But it's lived out in front of everybody. And when we live that life in front of everybody, it draws people to Him. It does. It draws people to Him. When we renounce the patterns of this world, and we have to walk this life, I could just keep on going, I don't want to keep you here all day, but this is just something that I'm so passionate about, that I want us to understand that there's so many scriptures that teach us to not fall into the patterns of this world, but live a life, not conform to this world, but a life devoted and dedicated to God. We got to learn to work faithfully for His church. And in whatever vocation that we have outside the church, that we've been called to honor Christ through that as well. It's important. It damages your testimony when you live a life contrary to what the Scripture teaches, or when you live a life contrary for what you say you are. And I've said that before. You remember when it says in the Ten Commandments, don't take the Lord's name in vain, right? But yet, when we live a life outside of the Word of God, then we're taking His name in vain if we claim that we're Christians and live a life differently. We're taking His name in vain. But these points here, so I encourage you to think about them and ask God to reveal which areas of your life that need to be worked on, most importantly. And I will say this as an encouragement. Above all, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Love the church that Christ loves so much. I love my church. Man, I do. I want to see the church grow, and I want to see, you know, and sometimes I get selfish about some of that stuff, and I want to see every chair. Is that wrong of me to say I want to see every chair filled? That's not wrong of me, is it? I think Jesus would like to see that too. But most importantly, my main objective is to get people closer to Jesus, whether they ever come to this church or not. I'd like to see them get closer to Jesus, and once they get saved, if they're really truly saved, they'll go to church somewhere. They'll get into church. They'll do the things that God wants them to do. If the Holy Spirit's truly living in you, you'll want to do the things that Christ has called you to do. That'll be your life. You'll desire that. This is not a social club, right? The Christian life's not a social club. It's a life dedicated to Christ. That's where our path is. And we set aside all temptations. We set aside all those things. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Listen, guys. I know you're tempted to go do these things, and I know that. But listen, you got to die out to those things, and you got to get you got to get focused on Jesus, and that's what's most important. And you got to set aside all those temptations, and just live a life as Christ has called you to live. And I mean, in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all things, other things, will be added to you as well." Isn't that a wonderful place to end right there? Seek first the kingdom of heaven. So I invite you. I mean, I'm not going to have this big, long, lengthy altar call here this morning, but I'm going to say, if there's things going on in your life right now that need to be changed, I don't have to point them out to you. If you truly want to connect with God, God will reveal those things in your life you need to change. He will tell you. And so I would invite you this morning to let Him change those things in your life that needs to be changed. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for this great group of people, Lord. I thank You for this community, Lord, that You've placed us in. Lord, You've put us all here in this community together. I sometimes feel like Paul when I desire to be somewhere else, but somewhere else is not where You put me. You put me here. And so, Lord, help us, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit abound in our lives that we might show everyone else around us in this community that we live for You. You are most important in our lives. It's not all the things in this world, it's You. And so help us today. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's struggling with something, that, Lord, that they come. They just allow You to take care of it. Just let them sell out to You, Lord. Die out to self and live for You. Lord, I praise You for what You're going to do, because I know Your word is true. And if Your word is true, it will do a wonderful, it'll start a new work in somebody here this morning. And when You start a new work in someone, You see it through to fruition. You see it through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.